Rachel's house had a very small garden. Rachel's mum could have done with a bit more room, because she liked growing things and there was not much scope for gardening, but she made the most of what space there was. Along the back fence by the alley, there were sprouts and cabbages with fringes of radishes in between, and down either side were flowers. Mum even had little bushes growing in old buckets on the concrete up by the back door. So the whole garden was a carpet of grass and plants, except for one threadbare patch, the size of a large hearthrug, right next to the house. Nothing grew there. Mum couldn't understand it. It was a good sunny spot, sheltered from the wind, but it made no difference what she planted. Nothing came up. She tried carrots and lettuce first, and when they failed she put in onions, then beetroot, then marrows, and finally nasturtiums, which are difficult not to grow.
"Must be the drains," Gran said. "You ought to get the council to have a look. It might be typhoid."
"I'd have thought bad drains would be good for plants," said Mum. "Ever see a carrot with typhoid?" Gran sniffed. By the time they'd lived in the house for 3 years, Rachel's little sister Donna had been born. Gran had moved to Maidstone. Rachel was at the junior school. And Dad suddenly started to be interested in budgerigars. Gran had kept a blue budgerigar called Pip in a cage on the sideboard, but Dad didn't approve of birds like that.
"Is it cruel to keep them in cages, then?" Rachel asked.
"I don't know about cruel," Dad said. "It doesn't look natural to me, full-grown birds standing on one leg with a bell on its head saying who's a pretty boy, then."
So, on the bald patch, where nothing grew, he built an aviary. First he put down concrete, and over this went a tall enclosure of wire netting on a frame of battens. At one end was a wooden sentry box with perches. At the weekend, Dad and Rachel took the bus and spent the afternoon looking in the woods for good sound branches so that the birds would have somewhere to sit, like wild birds. They brought them home and set them up in the aviary. Then the budgerigars arrived. There were six of them, and they came in little cardboard boxes with holes in the sides. Dad took them into the aviary and let them loose.
"What are we going to call them?" Rachel said.
"Not going to call them anything," Dad said. "They don't need names." "And another thing," he said sternly to Rachel and Mum and Donna, who'd come out to watch, "I don't want anyone trying to teach them to talk. There's going to be trouble if I catch any of them creeping up to me and saying, 'Who's a pretty boy, then?'"
Rachel watched the budgerigars exploring their new home, bouncing on the branches and tidying their feathers. When the birds settled, they began to purr and chirrup in the sunshine.
"See," said Dad, "they can talk to each other. Those squawks are all the language they need. They mean something."
"So do words," Rachel said.
"Not to budgerigars," Dad said firmly. "They don't really talk. They just copy sounds."
It was a fine August that year. The budgerigars had been in residence for almost 6 weeks when Dad came home from work one evening in a bad mood. They could tell he was in a bad mood by the way he shut the kitchen door. He always came in through the back gate and paused to have a look at the birds on his way past the aviary before coming indoors. Tonight, he didn't stop in the kitchen. He went straight through to the front room where Rachel and Mum were watching television.
"Own up, then," he said. "Who did it?"
"Who did what?" said Mum.
"Who's been at the birds?" he said.
"Well, have they got out, then?" Mum looked alarmed.
"Rachel, have you been fiddling?" "Oh, they're all there," said Dad. "And one of them's talking. Who did it?"
"What did it say?" Rachel asked. She hoped it had not said hello. She always said it herself as she passed the aviary on her way to school. Not to teach them, just to be friendly.
"Stop acting innocent," said Dad. "Come and listen."
They went out to the aviary. One of the birds was white, more noticeable than the others and more sociable. When the white bird saw the family standing round, it flew up to a branch and sidled along until it was close to the wire.
"Pretty me,"
it said.
"Hear that?" Dad demanded. "Pretty me. I'll give it pretty me. Who's been saying pretty me to that bird?"
Rachel was not quite sure if this was what the bird had said. The words had come out muffled and rather subdued, not at all like Pip's self-satisfied croak. She wished it would speak again, but it only sat there on its branch, the little wrinkled eyelids crimping up and down.
"If any of those birds says another word, there'll be trouble," said Dad.
He was looking at Rachel. After tea, when Dad had gone to play darts at the Man of Kent, Rachel slipped out into the aviary again. The white bird was still sitting on its twig, next to the wire. Rachel went and stood close. The white bird opened its eyes and its beak.
"Pity me,"
it said in its sad, hoarse voice.
"Pity me. Pity me."
Rachel's first thought was, "Good, it isn't copying anything I've said." Then she began to wonder who it was copying. Surely no one would deliberately teach a budgerigar to say, "Pity me." Perhaps Mum had said it without thinking. But people didn't say things like that without thinking. Perhaps the bird had tried to say, "Pretty me," but couldn't talk very well.
"Pity me,"
said the white bird. One of the green budgerigars, there were two of them, fluttered down and clung with beak and claws to the wire netting. It turned its head sideways to look at her.
"Pity me,"
said the green bird. The two yellow birds clambered up from below.
"Pity me, pity me,"
they said. Rachel shivered. She'd not noticed the sun was down below the roofs of the houses. The aviary was in shadow, and she could only just make out the shape of the blue budgerigar, hunched on its perch in the shelter. In silence. The next day was Saturday, mild and still, and in the morning the budgerigars swung and fluttered in the aviary with never a word to say. They nibbled at the chickweed, honed their beaks on cuttlefish bones, and chucked millet seeds about, very busy being budgerigars. But as the day wore on, an uneasy silence settled over the aviary. Rachel went over to the netting. A yellow budgerigar opened one eye and said,
"Oh, I'm so cold. Oh, I'm so cold. Pity me,"
said the white bird. The others ruffled their feathers and were motionless again.
"Cross my heart," said Rachel later that evening. "Cross my heart and cut my throat. It wasn't me."
"None of that nonsense," said Dad. "I want a straight answer. Yes or no. Did you or didn't you?"
"No," Rachel yelled. She was shocked at herself. People didn't yell at Dad.
"Anyway, if I had, I wouldn't have taught them to say things like that. I'd have taught them, 'Who's a pretty boy then?'" said Dad.
"Yes, but I didn't," said Rachel.
It was raining on Sunday. The budgerigars stayed in their shelter and looked at the weather with their small eyes half shut and said nothing all day. Dad was on late shift the following week, from 4 till midnight, so he saw the birds only in the daytime when it was bright, and they were bright. But it seemed to Rachel they were not so bright as they had been, and after Dad left for work, wheeling his bicycle down the alley, she visited the aviary. The birds that had stopped flying settled on their twigs and shuffled towards her. All of them, all six. They looked furtive and unwell.
"Pity me,"
said the white bird.
"Pity me. I'm so cold,"
said the two yellow birds.
"Cold as clay,"
said the blue bird that had never spoken before. Rachel jumped and turned around. Mum was standing behind her, lips pressed together, tight and frightened. "Don't say anything to your dad," said Mum. "I'm going to watch this evening. Someone must be coming into the garden after dark and doing this." Mum watched every evening that week and caught no one.
By the weekend, the birds had stopped squawking and flying from twig to twig. The chickweed withered untouched. The millet sprays hung neglected from the branches. On Saturday morning, Dad and Mum and Rachel stood round the aviary and listened to the listless little voices droning.
Oh, I'm so cold. Cold as clay. Pity me.
This is getting beyond a joke, Dad said, and talked of calling the police.
They all looked at the bedraggled birds, with their feathers poking out at all angles like bristles on a bottle brush, and their dreary eyes.
What could the police do, Mum said. Question them.
On Monday, the last day of October, Dad was back at work on the night shift and didn't leave home until 11:40. Rachel heard him go, kept awake by the continual opening and closing all evening of the back door, as Mum and Dad took turns to leap out on the intruder, but they didn't catch anyone. When Dad's rear light had turned left at the end of the alley, Rachel crept downstairs. Mum was clearing up before going to bed, but she sat down at the table. Rachel padded into the kitchen.
I don't know, she sighed. Those blooming budgies. We've been in and out a dozen times this evening. We haven't heard anyone.
I don't think there's anyone to hear, said Rachel. I don't think there's anyone there at all. Only the birds can hear it. When Dad came home from work next morning, he found Mum and Rachel standing by the aviary, watching the budgerigars that drooped on their branches.
Oh, I'm so cold, said one. I shall always be cold, said another. Cold as clay. I shall always be here, said a third. I shall never go away, said the white bird. Pity me.
No, Dad shouted. We are not moving. I never heard such nonsense. We're staying here. Right, said Mum. Then it's up to you. Either those birds go or I do.
The budgerigars were sold to good homes and went to live in cages with bells and mirrors. Instead of the budgerigars, they got a canary. Dad broke up the aviary, and on the place where nothing would grow, he put down crazy paving with a little pond in the middle. He called it a patio, and to decorate it he bought a plastic orange tree in a pot and a plaster stalk to stand by the pond. Rachel didn't much like the look of the patio, but the orange tree did not die, and the stalk never said a word. That was Who's a Pretty Boy Then? By Jan Mark. It was abridged for radio by Peter Carey and read by Anne Rye. Who's a Pretty Boy Then? Was produced in Manchester by Martin Jameson.